Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance. Welcome to DG Courtroom, a tradition unlike any other, where every show has a story to tell, where each show strives to provide a towering source of inspiration. Each show filled with chambers, dream killers, and dream lovers. Each show dazzling us with a signature moment, whether it's Beal or Booker, maybe a NASCAR correspondent, or in today's show, a new 30 for 30. It's truly the talk of the DFS world. The judge records these after 3 a.m., so as you all know, it can be a solitary journey, but one that no humble public servant makes alone. The judge wants each of you to know that you are his comforting guidance. This show has become an improbable dream, imagined first by Andre Drummond. Well, because he's always sleeping. Generations who first worshipped Rototrash are now flocking and fleeing and hee-hawing over to the judge. Fathers forever will remember these shows, and sons who are now fathers. It's simply the circle of life in DG Courtroom. I make up phrases and use ridiculous words to make it seem like I'm important, because I'm as handsome as the beautiful Georgia native azalea flower. It sure does smell oh so sweet. The judge and the bailiff want me to remind all you fine folks that only 3 days of the NBA regular season remain. The judge thanks you for spending some quality time with him these last few months and hopes there's plenty more to come going forward. I'll read anything for a paycheck. Well, friends, it's time to record another episode of DG Courtroom. From his tiny, crappy apartment in New York City, the judge welcomes you to a new episode of DG Courtroom.
Court is now in session.
Damn.
This episode of DG Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for 1 day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a free 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show. For Monday, April 10th, 2017, only 3 days left of the NBA regular season. That's right. Wednesday's the last day, and the NBA playoffs actually start on Friday. So let's hit these last couple days of the NBA pretty hard. And remember, I know a lot of you are super excited, and you already have been playing MLB, but there's still money to be had playing NBA. And if you can focus on NBA these final 3 days, you will have a great advantage on the rest of the field. Because people who are trying to play MLB and NBA both, it's just not feasible. Things are going to slip through the crack. You're going to miss things. And if you're dedicating yourself to NBA, you can achieve your destiny and achieve glory. By the way, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. And how about Jim Nance, huh? A little shout out to Jim Nance. That's very kind of him to do the opening for me. You know, when I first asked him, I knew he had a busy weekend at the Masters. I didn't think he'd do it, but, you know, he came through. So Maybe he'll come back during these hot summer months when it's just MLB season. So before we get in the heart of the show, do 3 things for the judge: rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Also, when I tweet out the link to the world, hit that lovely RT button, retweet it out, and download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Couple quick announcements. So, as most of you know, if you've heard, the judge is going to be on Dash Radio. Yes, that is right. Finally, someone have acknowledged the judge is putting him on another glorious platform. So now, I wish I could give you concrete news on when that is going to be. I was hoping it was going to be on Monday. It is not going to be on Monday, but it's still, I'm hoping it's going to be this week. Right now, actually, this week, we're doing some beta testing behind the scenes to make sure that everything goes smoothly. Then we might even do a soft launch. But I do expect it to go officially live very shortly. Again, I'll let you know the second I know. It's just it has been frustrating behind the scenes a lot. I'm telling you, man, one day I will do a show letting you guys know all the stuff that's happened behind the scenes this year. You know, the judges had a couple offers to actually go to DFS sites and some other sites to do the podcast and a bunch of stuff going on. But regarding Dash, it's almost ready, just not quite there. And remember, when the judge is on Dash, I will be on Monday through Friday and Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, and a new glorious lineup lock edition from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And I want the lineup lock show. That's going to be you guys firing questions to me and me answering as many questions as possible in that half hour. And hopefully it is going to be live as well. Now, for the regular podcast, the DG Courtroom, the hour-long show, if you want to continue to listen to that one via iTunes, Stitcher, however you're listening to this podcast, that is totally fine. Nothing shall change for you. But I think the lineup lock show, the one that's going to be live, that's probably only going to be on Dash. Again, when I know the final details, I'll make sure to let you guys know. But I'm hoping for that half hour. I want you guys to ask me as many questions as possible. I guess the questions you'll probably ask them just via Twitter. But again, if I can find a better way for you guys to get me questions, I will let you guys know that as well. But right now, I think you guys can just probably ask them to me via Twitter. And that should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Again, the second I know details, I'll make sure to keep you guys informed as well. And in terms of Major League Baseball, I'm still not 100% certain how many shows a week I'm going to do. But honestly, you guys have a huge say. So tell your family, tell your friends, tell your kids about the podcast. Have them rate, review, subscribe. I know I tell you guys that all the time, but it is important. I am looking at the metrics, if the show is doing well, if the listeners are there. If the demand is there, I'll continue to do a lot of MLB shows. If it falters off, you know, then the judge will probably sleep and enjoy some of his social time. So, you know, a lot of that is in your hands. You know, pretend you're a professional DFS player. Create fake accounts for your kids, for your siblings, for your in-laws, you know, and then write a fake review. That's what all the DFS pros do, right? So you guys can do that for the judge as well. Also, you know, I do want the podcast to be more interactive. So if you have feedback, feel free to let me know if you want me to touch upon anything regarding NBA or MLB. Feel free to reach out. You can reach me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1 or go to my website, dgcourtroom.com, and send me a nice, glorious email. So by the way, so I know I've been saying this every show, and I mean it today, guys. We have to cut the shows down to an hour, and today's the first show. An hour, it's just going to go dark. It will go black because I think we're basically doing, you know, like I said, a quote-unquote beta test on Dash Radio starting on Monday. So if I can't finish in an hour, maybe we'll only make it through like shooting guards at the top place today, or maybe only small forwards. We'll see how it goes. If I'm talking extra fast, extra stuttering and mumbling and bumbling, that's probably because I know I only have an hour to do the show. And as you guys, if you've been listening to me for a long time, you know, the judge in only an hour, that is a tough task. Let's see, where are we? We're already at the chamber segment of the show. Glorious. Wait, did somebody say chambers? Yes, somebody did say chambers. So, in terms of chambers, I'm not sure how many of you guys are aware, but on Monday, the head-to-head bracket madness, the finals, the championship takes place. Finally. So, I want to give a shout-out to the people who have made the Final Four for both FanDuel and DraftKings. The Final Four took place last week, but I felt that everyone who made the Final Four deserves a shout-out on the podcast, so that's what I want to do. The winner of the NASCAR region, Buzz F., a 7-seed, defeated the winner of the Magic Mountain region, the 5-seed, Erd Spider, by a score of 320 to 283. So Buzz F. has actually made the championship game in the head-to-head bracket madness. This is Buzz F.'s first year playing DFS, so that's a pretty big accomplishment. It's an upset. We'll see how he does. Next, the winner of the Standing in the Corner region, Toscarli, defeated the winner of the Bumble Stumble Fumble region, T.S. Spear 1, who's an 11 seed by a score of 269.9 to 269.5. This was an unbelievable matchup in the Final Four. This is on FanDuel. This was an unbelievable matchup. I'm pretty sure that T. Spear had this matchup won. All he needed was Dwight Howard to give him like 2 Fanduel points in the fourth quarter, and Dwight did not come through. So a heartbreaking loss for T. Spear. I feel your pain. But Toss Carly goes on to the final to face against Buzz F. No one saw this matchup coming, but here he goes. First place on the line Monday night. Good luck to both of you guys. And to everyone who made the Final Four, congrats, man. On DraftKings, the winner of the Tin Man region, yes, the judge himself, the 4 seed. I was only a 4 seed on DraftKings. I defeated Ramham's SC by a score of 270 to 229. I think Rumham was a 7 seed. The judge shall take on the winner of the real CJ Miles region, which is my homie, a 6 seed who defeated WhatUpDoe88, who was a 1 seed, a powerful player. This was a close battle. Which is my homie, won 271 to 268. Very close. So the judge takes on Butch is my homie on DraftKings on Monday. Buzz F takes on Erd Spider on FanDuel. Good luck to everyone. Now, I got a lot of positive feedback regarding the head-to-head bracket chambers. Head-to-head bracket madness or bracket challenge, whatever the hell we're calling it. So if you guys did like it, let me know. We can definitely do one for MLB, you know, later in the year. Again, I think it's important you guys are playing cash games, playing head-to-heads, as well as tournaments. Diversify your portfolio. And if you're not a good head-to-head or cash game player, I recommend you playing some. Just play small until you build up that skill. Because once you get good at it, it's a nice, easy way to make money. Because if you're playing only tournaments, you're going to have a week, maybe a 8, 9, 10-day stretch where you lose every day. Because that's what tournament life is about. And on those losing days, if you're winning in cash games, you know, you feel a lot better about yourself. All right, let's go back to regular chambers, shall we? Yes! Now, what is chambers? What is regular chambers? Chambers is only the most glorious, most tough, most fierce, most stiff competition in the DFS land. Players come across the world to compete in chambers. Now, we run them on FanDuel, on DraftKings, for NBA, and MLB. Also, we have power rankings, and the final power rankings for NBA will be unleashed, I think probably on Wednesday. Why is that significant? Let me get rid of this. Why is that significant? Oh, hold on. Let's go back to power rankings. As I was saying, the power rankings will probably be out Wednesday.
Great power comes great responsibility.
Very wise words. Like, I remember that from the movie Spider-Man. I think that must have been said like somewhere before Spider-Man, right? With great power comes great responsibility. So, with the power rankings being unleashed Wednesday, that allows us to do, what does that allow us to do on Wednesday? On Wednesday, we will have one final best of the best tournament for NBA for both FanDuel and DraftKings. Now, you might be asking, what is this lunatic talking about? Chambers and this madness and all this power rankings. So the power rankings are basically just the people who have performed the best in chambers all year long. And the people atop of the power rankings are going to get invited to a special chambers tournament for Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So this is a big week for chambers. Very excited. Now, as some of you may have noticed, Hold on. Where's the chambers music? Let's get it back. Let's get it back cracking. Let's get it back kicking. Yes, here we go. So, the judge had a little hiatus from social media this weekend. I can't go into details. Some real life things came up. I couldn't participate on social media. So, there was no chambers on Saturday and Sunday. But I know a lot of you reached out to me asking if the judge is okay. The judge is fine, better than ever. I just had to do some other stuff, and if you left me a message, I didn't get a chance to respond. That's because I honestly barely checked Twitter at all the last couple days. But that means there were no chambers on Saturday and Sunday. Don't worry, chambers is back on Monday because it's the final days of the NBA. What we're going to do, we're going to go old school. We're going to have 3 chambers on for FanDuel for NBA. We'll probably have 1 or 2 for MLB as well. And then DraftKings, we're going to have 1 for NBA and 1 for DraftKings as well. Now, on DraftKings chambers, remember, I've changed this up last week. I'm posting the links to DraftKings chambers on my website, dgcourtroom.com. Very easy. By the time you it's going to be up early Monday morning. So when you're hearing this podcast, you can just go to dgcourtroom.com, click on the judges' chambers. If you want to play DraftKings chambers, the links are right there. Click and you are in. Any questions, feel free to tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Remember, for FanDuel right now, I'm tweeting out the links. So they're not going to be on the website yet. But I think one day soon, they will be. And that is it for Chambers on this Monday. Now, next up, it is time for the segment you all have been waiting for, my friends. It is the critically acclaimed Emmy-nominated segment of Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Now, this will be an abbreviated segment of Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. One, because the judge really didn't play DFS on Sunday. I had to do real life stuff, so I, you know, didn't play, and I'm not going to talk about recap all the games on Sunday. But there are still a few that I feel the need to discuss. Dream Killers. How about the Cleveland mother effing Cavaliers, huh? Now, this is not only taking what happened on Sunday, but it happened on Friday as well. If you haven't been paying attention, the Cavs, who are battling for the number one seed, they lost to Atlanta on Friday and to Atlanta on Sunday. Now, on Friday, Atlanta rested their entire starting five. I am not kidding. It was the entire starting five. I'm trying to figure out, hold on, let me pull up Atlanta's starting lineup on Friday against Cleveland. Because basically, you know, Atlanta, who's battling for a playoff spot, basically said, you know what, we're just going to throw in the towel here because some of the guys were a little banged up anyway. They're like, you know what, we'll rest our guys Friday at Cleveland, and then we'll try to beat them on Sunday in Atlanta. Hold on one second, I'm getting the box score. Here it is. All right, so this is who Atlanta started against Cleveland. In 2017, not Tayshaun Prince, Taurean Prince, Ersan Ilyasova, Chris Humphries, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Jose Calderon. That's starting five. That was the starting five. Then off the bench, Mike Muscala, Mike Malcolm, M. Delaney. I don't know the guy's first name. Mike Dunleavy, dear God, D. Bembry, and then Ryan Kelly. So what an unbelievable, disgusting lineup. And that lineup beat Cleveland. Cleveland played everyone. LeBron played 42 freaking minutes. Kyrie played. Kevin Love played. Everyone played for Cleveland. So how Cleveland lost to Atlanta, I have no idea. So you thought on Sunday for sure Cleveland's not going to lose to them again, did they? Yes, they did. And they were up 26 freaking points in the fourth quarter. 26. And they still found a way to lose to Atlanta. How is that even conceivable? How is that possible? I have no freaking idea. But they did it. So you know what? ESPN, they jumped on this quick. They created a quick 30 for 30 to talk about why no one wants the number one seed and what's going on with Cleveland. So, I mean, I guess we're just going to play the promo, right? I think that's what ESPN, you know, they contacted me. They want me to play it. So I guess that's what we're going to do. So here, this is the new ESPN 30 for 30 coming soon.
What if I told you the Hawks rested all five starters against the Cavs in Cleveland on Friday, were 15-point underdogs, and still won the game? That Jose Calderon was the starting point guard for Atlanta in that game? That sometimes Calderon is so old, he can't even remember his own teammates' names? That no one, even his family, thought Calderon was still alive? What if I told you these two teams played again in Atlanta on Sunday? That the Cavs were up 26 in the fourth quarter, yet somehow lost to the Hawks once again? That Jose Calderon once lost a foot race to Bartolo Colon? What if I told you Bartolo Colon then ate Calderon as a late night snack? ESPN 30 for 30 presents, why doesn't anyone want the mother effing number one seed in the Eastern Conference?
I mean, that sounds pretty good, right? I'd probably watch that. I wonder, will they actually show the footage of Jose Calderon racing Bartolo Colon? I hope so. That'd be glorious. So there we go, 30 for 30. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that will be out, you know, this year at some point. Other dream killers. Let's do movies real quick. Have you guys seen the movie Passengers? So I saw this freaking movie over the weekend with Chris Pratt, and Jennifer Lawrence. And besides, like, both those two people being just gorgeous. And I'm never a huge Jennifer it's Jennifer Lawrence, right? I think so. Whatever her name is. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I gotta say, she looked particularly attractive in this movie. I'm not sure what it was, but the movie itself was 2 hours of just meaningless, disgusting, sickening acting, the screenplay, the writing. Visually, I guess if you saw it in the theaters, it would look cool. I just saw it on my TV in my apartment. So maybe it visually would look cool because it takes place in space. But just the plot, there was no plot. There was no point to that. It was basically watching the Orlando Magic or Detroit Pistons play. Just a meaningless 2 hours, and I wanted my time back and my money back. It was just horrible. So I do not recommend seeing Passengers. And I saw it got bad reviews, and I was like, you know what? I don't trust reviews. Let me take a chance on this anyway. Dream killer, soul freaking crusher. Speaking of the Pistons, how about Andre Drummond? The last two Pistons games, we got to see Boban play. Boban went nuts. First of all, I think Detroit beat Memphis on Sunday. And I think Detroit might have won on Friday as well. I can't remember who they played. But Boban got like 24, 25 minutes in both those games. He was amazing. Actually, watching a center for Detroit that was actually awake the entire time, pretty amazing. And just makes me want to call Drummond a dream killer one last time in this segment because, wow, Drummond has been such a disgrace this year. I hope they get rid of him and Boban can start next year. Because watching Boban's a ton of fun. And he really did look good on both ends of the court. How about the Lakers as dream killers? They can't do anything right this year. They've now won four straight games. They've won four straight games. They need to be losing games. They have a top three lottery protected pick. And now they basically have a one-game lead on Phoenix. And they basically have the third worst record. No, yeah, I think they have the third worst record in the NBA instead of the second worst. So on Sunday night, D'Angelo Russell hit a three-pointer at the buzzer basically to beat Minnesota. It's just unbelievable. So the Lakers, they're trying to lose. They can't even get that right. I really do hope that – I'm not a Lakers fan, by the way, so I do hope that they lose the pick. I'd find that pretty humorous. But that's got to be – if you're a Lakers fan, that's got to be soul-crushing to watching them win four straight games right now. Also, Brooklyn is literally a dream killer. They beat the Bulls on Saturday. God, by one freaking point. Honestly, Brooklyn right now, they should be – if they were playing like this all – if they play the way they've been playing the last few weeks, even last month – they'd probably be in the playoffs. It's pretty remarkable by playing that D-League squad. Granted, Jeremy Lin's now relatively healthy. But they play, you know, as you guys know, 8 to 10 guys, 20 minutes a night, and they're beating on – they're in every game, and they're beating a lot of decent teams. Now, I'm not saying the Bulls are decent, but the Bulls are battling for a playoff spot that almost would have clinched a playoff spot for the Bulls. Now Miami is tied – or Chicago's tied with Miami for the 8th spot. And, oh my God, just a horrible loss for Chicago with D-Wade back, coming back from his fractured wrist. Rondo was out, but still, just a horrible loss for Chicago. Man, Brooklyn, you gotta give Brooklyn credit, man. As much as it's been a pain in the you-know-what to play them in DFS, they've kept so many games competitive. It's been pretty amazing. Dream lovers? We had some dream lovers as well. I'm not sure. We're not going to get away from movies, but how about TV? Have you guys watched the show Little Big Lies with Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and this girl from, what I think, Shay something from the Divergent series? Now, I'm not a fan of, you know, any of those people, quite honestly. Especially this is more of a, you know, kind of a chick flick kind of thing, I guess. But it was spectacular. Dream Lover for sure. I cannot recommend this show enough. It's only 7 episodes. If you would just watch it on demand, I watched it in like 2 days. I couldn't believe it. It was so good, so compelling. I guess it's after like a book or a miniseries or something. So don't read the book because that would totally ruin it. But man, lots of twists and turns. It's very compelling. Dream lover for sure. Already mentioned Boban. Boban was a dream lover this weekend. Westbrook. Now, if you played Westbrook on Friday, he was not a dream lover. But what he did on Sunday was pretty phenomenal to watch. On Friday, if you guys can remember back that many days, Westbrook played Phoenix. He must have been like 75% owned in tournaments. Also because this time of year, there's so much value on the board because teams are resting and tanking their entire starting five. That was the day you had basically the Spurs and the Hawks rested their entire starting five. So you had value everywhere. So it was super easy to fit Westbrook, and everyone played Westbrook, rightfully so, against Phoenix. And so Westbrook, you know, ended up having his worst game of the year. At one point, I turned the game off. I think in the first half, he was – I don't know if he was 0 for 12 from the floor, 1 for 12, but he was abysmal. I think he still ended up with a game with like 44 Fanduel points, and that just shows you what kind of year he's had. Like, he can play – that's his floor. I mean, his ultimate floor. Like, the worst he can possibly play, and he still put up 44 Fanduel points. But if you watch that game against Phoenix, man, was he bad. Now, conversely, on Sunday against Denver, he was phenomenal, especially late in the fourth quarter. He hit a three-pointer at the buzzer when OKC was down 2 points. It knocked Denver out of the playoffs because Denver still was battling Portland for the eighth spot. If you're a Nuggets fan, I guess Westbrook was a dream killer. But other than that, it was phenomenal. So hopefully he locked up the MVP over Cheeto Face. But now granted, will that happen? I don't know. But Westbrook was just phenomenal. How about James Judy Dench Lillard on Saturday? He had 59 actual points against Utah. That's pretty impressive, man. 59 actual points against Utah. I think he had like 74, 75 Fanduel points. I think he was like 34% owned on Saturday. So he wasn't super low owned, even though it was against Utah. But that's pretty impressive. And the thing I will say, that's why I think him and Paul George are both tin men. Look how great Judy Dench and Paul George have played post-All-Star break, especially the last few weeks of the season. Where was that earlier in the year? I don't get it. If they would have played even remotely like that the first half of the season, both those teams wouldn't have been battling for the eighth spot. They would have locked up a playoff spot weeks ago, months ago. So those guys are both supremely talented, and that's why it's been so perplexing and frustrating playing them this year and watching them not show up. But both those guys have been tremendous lately, and Damian Lillard, what he did on Saturday, was glorious. So if you played him on Saturday, congrats, because he went nuts. All right, let's jump into the slate for Monday. But before we do that and talk injuries and then go to Vegas, let's look at the standings. I think it's very important that we do that. And because we need to know which teams actually still have something to play for. So let's start with the East. Because of stupid – no one wants the one seed. That's why they're making the 30 for 30. Cleveland and Boston are tied at 51 and 29. So they're still both battling for the one spot. So both those teams, they do have something to play for. Now, I don't know – Cleveland allegedly is going to play all their games against Miami on Monday, which is a huge game for Miami. But would I be shocked if Cleveland rests some guys? No, because Kyrie keeps talking about that his knee hurts. So if Kyrie has a bad knee, why in the world are they still playing him? And they're playing him 35, 40 minutes. It's crazy. And plus, LeBron played 42 minutes on Sunday night. So Cleveland isn't a back-to-back, but they are battling for the one spot. So as long as we hear they're going to play their guys, you know, we can roster Cavs and Celtics on this slate. Definitely Celtics and definitely Miami guys, because Miami's tied with Chicago for the eighth spot. So also the Bulls, they still have something to play for. Indiana does as well, because Indiana's only a half game ahead of Chicago and Miami. And also Toronto and Washington, they're battling for the three or four spot. So in theory, they have something to play for as well, at least for one more night. So the East, there are still teams to target. In the West, not nearly the same thing. All the seeding is locked up at this point. So Golden State's going to play Portland in the first round. San Antonio is going to play Memphis, the 2-7 matchup. Houston is going to play OKC, the 3-6. The only thing still up in the air is Clippers-Utah. They're battling for home court advantage. They're battling for the 4 spot in the first round of the playoffs. So I am going to be targeting, as sickening as it may be, Utah guys. And also Clippers. The Clippers, besides Andre Drummond in Detroit, have lost me more money than anyone this year. But the Clippers, I think the Clippers do play on Monday as well. I'm a big fan of all the Clippers, especially Chris Paul, Blake, DeAndre, even J.J. Redick, and also Utah. But Utah is also banged up. So Gordon Hayward dealing with an injury. I'm not sure who's even going to play for Utah on this slate. But other than that, man, those are the only two teams still battling for anything regarding the playoffs in the West. All right, injury news. And remember, Monday, if you're playing NBA DFS, please be monitoring the news. It's going to come fast. It's going to come wicked. It's going to come scary. It's going to be just, you're probably going to end up playing people tomorrow that you never heard of, or maybe you heard of them, but you only heard of them on Friday. So, it's going to be fun, but tricky. And you're gonna have to pay attention if you want to play NBA. Sean Kilpatrick is doubtful, actually questionable for Brooklyn. Amir Johnson for Boston's questionable. Deion Waiters, man, Miami could use him. He just can't get that ankle right. So he's questionable for Miami. That's actually a big one because Josh Richardson, very quietly, has been just a cash consistency monster lately. Last 2 weeks or so. I've been playing him every night in cash games last couple weeks. So if Waiters is out, I still love Josh Richardson and even Tyler Johnson. If Waiters is back, that becomes a little dicey then. But I'm not. I have no idea if Waiters is going to play. Right now he's questionable. I didn't think he was going to play, but we'll see. Tristan Thompson's questionable for Cleveland. Otto Porter's questionable for Washington. If Otto Porter is out, he was out the last game. Kelly Oubre probably becomes a really nice cheap punt. Rajon Rondo, questionable. The Bulls really – can't be I'm saying this either, but the Bulls really need him against Orlando. The Bulls play Orlando on Monday, by the way. Rondo's questionable. Evan Fournier is questionable. If Fournier can't go, my boy Jody Meeks, who somehow miraculously hit value on Friday night and got us like 20 FanDuel points. John Henson's questionable. Malcolm Brogdon's questionable. Alan Crabb is questionable. Then you got Utah. So I mentioned Utah. Of course, Ronnie Hood's going to be out because why would he ever play a game? Derek Favors is out because the same thing. Why would he ever play a game? Then you got some big ones. George Hill's questionable and Gordon Hayward's questionable. I mean, oh my, who in the hell is going to score if Gordon Hayward doesn't play and if Hill's out as well? I mean, is Joe Ingles going to take like 20 shots? Is Shelvin Mack playing? I guess Shelvin Mack could take a ton of shots. Dante Exum? Someone has to score. I mean, Rudy Gobert, he's not an offensive player. So, I mean, I guess Joe Johnson, right? Maybe Joe Johnson could start and take a ton of shots if Gordon Hayward and George Hill are out. I mean, Utah needs someone to score. That is something to monitor. And Utah needs to win as well because they're battling for the four spot. Them and the Clippers want home court. It's important. And for Houston, Lou Williams is going to be out resting, and Nene and Decker are both probably out for Houston as well. All right, let's hop into the top plays. The top plays. No, whoa. What is the judge doing? You can tell my mind's all over the place right now. I'm not going to top plays yet. First, we're going to go to Vegas. We can't skip over to the Vegas. That'd be crazy. Let's go to Vegas. Now, you may be asking, why would the judge want to skip Vegas? It's because Vegas is a very scary place right now. There's 9 games on this slate, but only 4 games have over-unders and 4 games have lines because of all the madness, tanking, resting players that's going to happen. So the only games currently that have lines are Houston Clippers, a 228 over-under. This is going to be very interesting to see what Houston does because Houston has nothing to play for. I guess Harden is technically still playing for the MVP, and he was moping and whining in the press about that on Sunday night, basically saying he thinks wins should be the most important factor. You know, stuff your face with some more Cheetos, Harden. Westbrook gets my vote. The judge should get a vote, by the way. I shall vote via Twitter. So I have no – I mean, I also saw D'Antoni say something that he's going to not rest the entire game, but, you know, limit Harden's minutes a little bit. So let's keep an eye on the news. Because obviously, if Harden plays, he's an elite play on this slate. But how many minutes is he going to get? If he's only going to get 24 minutes, do we really want to pay Harden's price tag, which is 12.1K? Hell no, we don't. So it's going to all be about how many minutes Harden gets. For the Clippers, man, they're in the highest over-under of the day in a must-win game for them. So I love Chris Paul. I love Blake Griffin. I like J.J. Redick. I like DeAndre Jordan. All their guys are going to get big minutes on this slate. They're all safe plays, in my opinion. And they're playing way up in pace. So it's a glorious day to play Clippers, as disgusting as it sounds. Brooklyn-Boston. So this is another game that I really like to target because Boston's a 10-point favorite. But Brooklyn stays close in every game. Brooklyn's been playing really well. Even though no one from Brooklyn gets a ton of minutes, you know Lynn and Brook Lopez are going to get big minutes. And we know we can attack Boston bigs. So I like both those guys. Hollis Jefferson, LeVert, they're somewhat in play, although it's hard to really love any other Brooklyn guy. But the Boston Celtics, they're all in play. Isaiah, Bradley, Crowder, Al Horford. So with Amir Johnson out, I'm not sure who's going to get the start. Maybe some Kelly Olynyk, maybe Jarebko. We'll see who starts for Amir Johnson. But Boston playing way up in pace, need to win that game. So again, I want to target teams that have something to play for. Washington, Detroit. Washington is a 2.5-point favorite here. It's in Detroit. What's Boban's price? Let me check. I bet you DraftKings probably jacked it up already. So Boban right now is still getting – he's 3.6K on FanDuel. So the price on FanDuel is glorious. 44 and 27 FanDuel points his last two games. Let me just see if he's – I can even find him on DraftKings real quick. On DraftKings, he's 5K. So he's not cheap on DraftKings. Do I want to pay that price on DraftKings? Maybe in a tournament or two. But on FanDuel, I like it a lot more. Otherwise, Detroit these days, do I trust anyone? No. I mean, if you look at the last two games, basically the entire team's getting like 24 minutes right now. So I don't feel confident playing any Pistons, really. Wizards? Sure. They're still battling for that three spot, so I don't mind playing Washington guys. And remember, if Otto Porter's out, Kelly Oubre becomes a really nice punt. Although I'm pretty sure Oubre on Saturday night didn't have a great game. Played 33 minutes at 20 FanDuel points. I mean, the thing is, I think I said this on the last podcast I did. He's been getting like 26 to 28 minutes every night anyway lately. Like Otto Porter's minutes have been on the decline anyway. So Kelly Oubre's been like a relatively safe punt the last couple weeks. Just no one's been noticing it because no one's been playing him. So, you know, not a huge usage guy. He's somewhat very similar to Otto Porter in the sense that he can fill up a stat sheet. He's a pretty athletic guy. But will John Wall be passing him the ball much? No, he will not. Indiana, Philly, 211 over-under. Must win for Indiana. So Paul George is not cheap anymore. He's 9.9 frickin' K. But is he worth that? Probably. It's probably a relatively safe play. Now, the problem on this slate, you got LeBron, Jimmy Butler, and Paul George. They're all right around 10K. So now LeBron's actually 11 around. He's 10.9K. Butler's 10.4. And Paul George is 9.9K to be precise, or to be exact. But all three are fine. I will be monitoring to see how many minutes, if make sure LeBron's not going to get rest. But all three in play on this slate. So to me, small forward is really not the position to save at. I could probably save at other spots. Other games, Cleveland, Miami, there's no line yet. Orlando, Chicago, no line yet. Again, Orlando, Chicago, feel free to target Bulls because the Bulls must win for them. Then you have Spurs, Portland. Now, the Spurs are another team to keep your eyes on because Popovich was saying that he's not going to rest the San Antonio guys because they've been playing like crap lately. Now, Portland, they locked up the 8th spot. I would expect them, if they're not going to rest Damian, Judy, Dench, Lillard completely, at least limit his minutes, you would think. I'm not sure. Now, the thing is, I don't even know who the hell would get Lillard's minutes. I guess we're going to have to monitor that. Who the hell is their backup point guard? I don't even remember who it is. But let's keep our eyes on that. For the Spurs, though, a sneaky play on this slate is Kawhi Leonard because everyone's going to play Paul George, Butler, and LeBron because they have something to play for. And people are going to say, well, why do the Spurs have nothing to play for, right? But if Popovich is correct and he's going to give the Spurs big minutes, it's worth a shot. Now, the Spurs did play on Sunday. And Kawhi played 35 minutes. He had 41 FanDuel points. So, the Spurs played on Saturday, and they lost to the Clippers. So, you know, I think in tournaments, some of these Spurs guys, and by some I really mean Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge, because who else can you play? I guess, yeah, I mean, there's really no other Spurs that I would play. Simmons, maybe? I mean, Anderson? Parker? Yeah, I don't know. But Kawhi, sneaky. And then Utah, Golden State. So I mentioned the Utah. They are trying to battle for a playoff spot, for the 4-seed home court advantage. Golden State, nothing to play for. I have no idea who's going to play for Golden State. I'm pretty sure Steph rested last game. Is he going to play? I have no idea. Durant played his first game of the, you know, since coming back from injury on Saturday. Played 31 minutes, which was surprising. So another sneaky play. If Durant can get like 35 minutes against Utah, could he outscore Paul George, Butler, LeBron, and Kawhi? Unlikely, but possible. So will I be playing a ton of Durant? I will not, which makes him a good tournament play in theory, if you're just playing ownership. All right, team's playing up in pace because I love three things in life. Actually, let's add sleep now because the judge is exhausted. It's been a long year, man. I need Jim Nance to come and do some soothing – voiceover work again. So I love sleep, the bailiff, usage, and pace. Teams playing up in pace. Boston, way up in pace against Brooklyn. Clippers, way up in pace against Houston. Utah, way up in pace against Golden State. And Indiana, a little bit against Philly. So four, you know, Boston, Clippers, Utah, Indiana, all have something to play for and all playing up in pace, which is somewhat interesting on this slate. All right, now we can hop into the top plays at each position. All right, let me check how we're doing on time. All right, so we have about 20 minutes left of this. Man, only 20 minutes left. Ooh, can we get through all the players in 20 minutes? We must. So let's start it off. Let's kick it off. Point guard, John Wall. He's going to get a Detroit team that's going to play a bunch of bums, Ish Smith, and then God only knows. So I actually played him on Saturday. God, he let me down against Miami. 35 freaking Fando points. Supremely disappointed. That's, quite honestly, last like week or so, I'm not sure what his deal has been, but he has not been that good. While in theory they do have something to play for, do I love this play on this slate? I do not. So if I have like 10 lineups, I'd probably have one or two of Wall. I do like the prices come down a little bit, so I like that aspect, but there's other point guards I like more, such as Chris Paul. One of my top plays on this slate. He's 9.6K, but he's been locked in lately. He's been super safe for all formats. Not the greatest ceiling in the world, but right now you can't go wrong. If you're still playing cash games, if it's, you know, maybe you're in the Chambers head-to-head bracket madness finals on Monday, Chris Paul, very safe point guard. Remember, there's going to be a lot of value on the slate. You know, so you know, if you need to spend up for certain guys, and Chris Paul's, make sure it's for someone safe, and Chris Paul is safe, and playing wave and pace. Now, Patrick Beverley defense. Should that scare all of us? No, it should not. Judy Dench-Lillard. I'm just not going to play Dame Judy on this slate because why would Portland play him a ton of minutes? They locked up the 8th seed. Nothing to play for. Isaiah Thomas, 8.8K against Brooklyn. I don't know when the last time Isaiah Thomas has won anyone money. If Isaiah has won you money in the last 2 weeks, raise your hand. Let's see it high. Raise it high. Raise it high to the sky. Yeah, me neither. With that said, against Brooklyn, I mean, I prefer Chris Paul more than Isaiah Thomas, so I'll do everything I can to get Chris Paul. But Isaiah, great matchup. Pace is good, and Boston needs to win. So another guy, I think the floor is pretty good. The question is, what's the ceiling? He's been trending in the wrong direction since All-Star break. And Avery Bradley back really has hurt him a little bit with the usage rate. So Kyrie, again, his knee's hurting. He should not be playing. He went nuts on Sunday against Atlanta. Played 45 minutes, though. So now they get a back-to-back against Miami. I just don't know how many minutes he's going to get. So I would prefer to play a rested Chris Paul or a rested Isaiah Thomas in a must-win game. But if he plays, you obviously can play Kyrie in some tournaments. I just don't think it's super safe on this slate. Dragic, 7.9K. Now, if Kyrie plays, you know what? I might like Dragic more than Kyrie. Dragic is not cheap, but Miami needs to win. Now, if Waiters plays, I won't like Dragic nearly as much. But if Waiters is out, Dragic is a nice play on this slate. Another guy. Let's say I don't have the money for Chris Paul. I will play Dragic because you know he's going to get 35 minutes. Miami's going to do everything in their power to win that game. It's a must win, so I don't mind Dragic. Kemba, no thank you. Remember, I am targeting guys with something to play for. Kemba got 36 minutes last game, but why play him a ton of minutes? So you can do it in a tournament. I just don't know. Plus, I don't like attacking Bucks point guards anyway, and he's playing the Bucks. Elfrid Payton. I mean, if there's one Orlando guy to play, it's Elfrid Payton. He wants to be removed from Magic Mountain. Even the last couple games, he's basically been back in Magic Mountain. 25, 46, 25 Fando points. But the upside is there. Now, if you ask me the question, could he be in the winning tournament lineup against Chicago, against either a Rondo or a Grant, the Bulls have struggled all year long against point guards. So even though Orlando has nothing to play for, Payton would be one of the guys I would take a shot at point guard. Jeff Teague, I love attacking Philly point guards. We just saw Jerry and frickin' Grant destroy Philly, on Thursday or on Wednesday, whenever the hell that was. So could Teague, should Teague absolutely obliterate make out McConnell? Yes, he should. I love Teague. I like Paul George. If I can't afford a Chris Paul, I have no issue playing Teague in like a, especially a cash game or a head-to-head. And I love attacking a McConnell defense. So, yeah, Teague's fine at that price. Jeremy Lin, my favorite thing in all of the world is to attack Isaiah Thomas defense. Now, Isaiah's probably the worst defender as a point guard. Then Kyrie, probably number two. Dennis Schroeder, right up there as well. So on this late, the problem is Lin's expensive now. He's 6.4K, and he's not going to get more than 31 minutes. That's his max. Him and Brook Lopez, if they play over 31 minutes, they turn into Cinderella. The glass slipper falls off, and the world ends. So is 31 minutes of Jeremy Lin going to be enough on this slate? I don't think it's going to be, man. I just don't see it. I think there's other guys that I'd prefer. If he was 5.6K, I'd like it a hell of a lot more. Also, if he was going to get 35 minutes, I would like that more. So the minutes and the price now don't have me off him a little bit. I will play him in like one lineup because I'm going to stack this Brooklyn-Boston game one time. I think he'll be fine. I still think he's going to get you like around 30 Fando points. But remember, when I'm building lineups, I build the lineup and then I ask myself, can this lineup take down a tournament? And I just don't know if Lin can be in that lineup. I don't know. I'm torn. I want to attack Isaiah Thomas, but I love point guard, and the minutes worry me. Not enough minutes. Make out McConnell, 5.7K. It'll be right around between 25 and 30 fandom points. The last three games, 29, 29, 29 fandom points. That's what he does. He makes out. He makes out with the girl. He doesn't get to have mind-boggling sex, space sex, upside-down sex, laundry room sex. I guess laundry room sex would be a good thing, right? By the way, this is an R-rated show. I think we're rated PG, so maybe, I guess, can I ask questions like that? I'm going to. Whatever. It's game like 80 of the season. Have you guys ever had sex on a washing machine? That's all I'm going to say. Next. Moving on. Ish Smith. Yeah, not the day to play Ish for me because he's only going to get last two games, 27, 30 minutes, and Stan has not been giving him a ton of minutes. So I just prefer other guys. And John Wall is a sneaky, sneaky good defender. Tyler Johnson, don't hate it, don't love it. It's okay. Then you got under 5K, Patrick Beverley, another guy for all the Houston guys. I need to see what D'Antoni says about minutes. They really don't have anything to play for. The starters played relatively. The starters on Sunday, no one played big minutes except Harden, because I think D'Antoni wants Harden to get MVP. Jerry and Grant. So if Rondo is out, man, I mean, Grant, the last two games, he's been good. It's, 28 and 35 Fando points. So I trust him a hell of a lot more in MCW. So if you want to play Jerry and Grant against Elfrid Payton, who's a horrific defender, if Rondo's out, only if Rondo's out, that's okay. Shooting guard, Harden, all about the minutes, check the news. I have a very hard time seeing him get minutes. Why play him on this slate? Except if he says, look, I need to get MVP and I need to, you know, put up a triple-double and it's like Westbrook and get 50 actual points. Giannis is 10K. The Bucks do, I guess, are still playing to get the 5 seed, but they already have a playoff spot clinched. So me, I don't see me playing a ton of Giannis, but it's still fine. Not a horrible play. Bradley Beal. Yeah, the price is fair. 7.4K. To me, he's been more of a cash game play. I mean, I remember like right after the All-Star break, he was extraordinary. He was on a tear. He was basically in a lot of winning GPP lineups. Lately, he has not been, but he's been consistent, giving you around 30 Fando points a night. On this slate, will that be enough? I don't know, but not a horrible play. If I do play him, would I play him with Wall? God. Probably I would. Klay Thompson. Is Klay going to play? I don't know. Klay played on Saturday, got 27 minutes. You would think Kerr might I don't remember. But I think I saw Kerr saying he's not going to rest any guys on Monday. But even if he doesn't, quote-unquote, rest them in terms of their minutes, will the minutes be reduced? You would think so, right? And it's against Utah. CJ McCollum. Another guy for Portland, I just don't think is going to get a ton of minutes. So, also, he's been bad lately. Last two games, 22 and 28 minutes. That's because Jeudy Dench has been taking all the shots. If for some reason, let's say Portland rests Jeudy Dench and CJ plays, CJ becomes an intriguing guy. He could take all the shots in the world. Nick Batum, again, I just don't know how many minutes he's going to get for Charlotte. Last two games, though, he's been good, 44-41. So I'm not going to forget him on this slate. His price is very fair. So even if he only gets 32 minutes, that salary, I think it's in play. D-Wade, 6.5K. You know, he only got, 24 minutes, 25 minutes in the first game back, 22 FanDuel points. I would expect him to be around the minute, the same 24, 25-minute mark. If I hear he's going to get 30 minutes, I think he's in play on this slate. But I need him to get 28, 30 minutes at least. Evan Fournier is 5.6K. I'm not sure if he's playing. Isn't he questionable? You guys know Fournier. What can I say anything new at game 80 of the season? No, he's going to stumble, bumble, and fumble his way between 20 and 30 FanDuel points. He's done it every day the last 3 months. A little TLC, 5.6K, 5.5K. Timothy Luawa Cabaret. God, he's so expensive now. I mean, yeah, but it's, the thing is, him and Justin Anderson, even though they're bums, they're going to get 30 minutes, and TLC is going to get close to 40. So it's a nice, safe play, as is Josh Richardson. As long as Deion Waiters is out, feel free to unleash Richardson in any format you want. More of a cash game guy because he takes no shots. Last game, I think he took 5 shots. I'm screaming at the TV for him to shoot. He doesn't shoot. He does not shoot. He will never shoot. He has no confidence. But he plays solid defense, fills up the stat sheet, get you steals, rebounds, some assists. Hopefully make a couple three-pointers. J.R. Smith's in play on this slate if you want. Jody Meeks if Fournier's out. All right, small forward. LeBron, 10.9K. Check the news. I have no idea. I'm not sure what Cleveland is doing. Those two losses to Atlanta really hurt them. They could have had the one seed locked up. Now they do not. So they do have to win the game if they want the one seed. But what's more important? What about the health? So LeBron played 47 minutes against Atlanta on Sunday. Yeah. If he plays, obviously he's always going to be an elite play. Butler and Paul George. Both those guys, I love them. I love Butler gets Orlando. Paul George gets Philly. For Orlando, who's going to guard Butler? I mean, is it going to be Aaron Gordon? Is it going to be Terrence Ross? And for Philly, who's going to guard Paul George? TLC? So both those guys, great spots. I will have the exact same lineup and play one of each. I guess if I had to choose, oh, man, it is so close. I guess I'd choose Paul George because he's shown more upside lately. I choose George in tournaments and I guess Butler in cash, but with Wade back, maybe Butler is the better play for cash games as well. I mean maybe George is the better play for cash games as well right now. I mean, but Jimmy Butler, 10.4K, that's expensive. But all those guys will be fine though on this slate. Durant, I mentioned this sneaky guy, contrarian move. I won't do a lot of it, but you can if you want. Kawhi, same thing, 9.2K. You know, you can save 1.2K from Jimmy Butler, 1.7 from LeBron. I don't mind the Kawhi one. Look, Pop said he's going to get minutes. I trust Pop. I don't know why I trust him, but I do. Other than that, the thing is, then small forward gets nasty fast. So you have Ronnie Hollis Jefferson. He's 5K right now against Boston. You guys know Hollis Jefferson. He did get 30 minutes against Chicago, and he put up 42 FanDuel points last game out. So the fact that he's got 30 minutes 2 times in the last 5 games, that's impressive. If he gets 30 minutes, he's in play. He's a really good player. The whole year it's been about minutes with him. So I don't mind that play at all. Do I love it? You can't love any Brooklyn guy because you're always worried about minutes. But in a tournament, you can do it. Then you got Terrence Ross, tournaments, MKG. Oh, God, is he bad. He's down to 4.3K. He will stand in the corner the entire freaking game. Everything's trending in the wrong direction, so it's hard to love that play. Justin Anderson, it's very safe for cash games, head-to-head games. Him and TLC for Philly are locked into a ton of minutes. Justin Anderson might be the worst player in the NBA in terms of real life, but for DFS, he's totally in play. Now, the Utah guys, Joe Johnson. If Gordon Hayward's out, Joe Johnson is going to be an elite play on this slate, especially if George Hill's out too. So, man, he could put up a ton of shots. I don't mind Joe Johnson. I also like Joe Ingles. Honestly, you could both your small forwards. Now, opportunity cost would be a killer if you play Ingles and Johnson. Then, you know, Butler and Paul George go nuts. So I don't recommend doing it. But both those guys should be fine on this slate. Power forward, Blake. I love Blake, 9.3K against Houston. Now, the last time the Clippers played Houston, I watched Ryan Anderson shut down Blake Griffin. I'm not stuttering that time, I don't think. It was unbelievable to watch. So Blake, hopefully, will smash him this time around. Clippers are playing to win. I don't even know who the hell is going to guard Blake. Ryan Anderson's still banged up with the back, probably not going to get a ton of minutes. So Blake should be fine. Very safe cast for all formats. Kevin Love, again, how many minutes? It's all about the minutes for the Cleveland guys. He's still very fairly priced at 7.6K. He's been rock solid consistency for the last couple weeks. The thing is, he doesn't have to play well at that price. If he plays, just if he gets minutes, if he gets 30 minutes, he will hit value. Power forward, other than that, LaMarcus Aldridge is another guy I have my eye on. He's going back to Portland. Remember, he's going to get some minutes, it seems like. So, not a great play. You can never love Aldridge, but he's fine. James Johnson, I like that play. Aaron Gordon, he's 6.3K, so he's not cheap anymore. But I will stack that Chicago-Orlando game. He got 37 minutes last game. And right now I want guys who are getting minutes, so I don't mind that play. Mirotic is a guy for tournaments. Holmes, you know, you can't play Saric because Saric is not getting a lot of minutes. Holmes is getting minutes. So the three guys for Philly that I like, and this is sickening, I know, but it's TLC, Anderson, and probably Holmes. Those are the guys who are getting the big minutes right now. Aminu, whatever. Mirotic is fine for tournaments. I think I mentioned him. Thaddeus Young. I like Thaddeus Young because remember, Indiana needs to win. He's only 5K. He's getting 30 minutes a game and over 30 fandom points. So I love Thaddeus Young. Nice, safe play. Got my eyes on Jarebko if he starts. A sneaky play. Noah Vonleh, somewhat sneaky. Center. Only have 4 minutes to go. I told you, man, doing these hour-long shows for Dash is going to be very hard. Rudy Gobert, 9K. Super safe play. Utah needs to win this game. They must win. So Rudy Gobert is not cheap anymore. Do I think there's guys who are better value? Absolutely. But against Golden State, he should be able to grab every rebound in sight. Whiteside, 8.8K. I played Whiteside 2 games ago when he basically tanked. He got in foul trouble. He was a baby. He was moping when Miami lost to Toronto. Of course, came back last game against Washington and put up 54 fandom points. And that's DFS for you. When the guy will crap the bed, when you play him, then you don't play him, he will go nuts. Against Cleveland, no Triscuit. With a Triscuit, I don't care who the hell is going to play. He's in a good spot. Safe, especially for tournaments. Do I love him for cash games at that price? It's fine. DeAndre Jordan, 8.2K. I guess I would prefer... that's tough, man. I think Whiteside has a bigger upside, but DeAndre Jordan might be a little bit safer just because I think Whiteside could see like a piece of candy on the floor and eat the candy and get distracted, where DeAndre Jordan is going to come to play. He's a professional. Vucevic, I like attacking Bulls centers, so I don't mind him. Somewhat of a contrarian move. The minutes have still been fine. Vogel's still giving the Orlando guys big minutes, so they're still in play for me. I will never play Drummond again this regular season. So, no thank you there. Looks like Boban's getting out there. She's sharing time with Boban. Horford against Brooklyn, 6.9K. Totally fine with that. Now, has he been good lately? No, he has not been. Does he ever grab rebounds? No, he does not. Will he make you want to throw the gavel at the TV? Yes, he will. I don't know if you have a gavel. You should have one. Order one on Amazon. Then you can pretend like you're the judge. Brook Lopez. He's down at 6.6K, and I like to attack Boston bigs. He's going to get 31 minutes, like Jeremy Lin. Now, last 2 games, he's been bad. That makes me like him on this slate. So 31 minutes against Boston, yep, I'm totally fine for that. Sign me up. Cody Zeller, Robin Lopez, they're okay. Gortat, Olynyk, Deadman Walking. What's Deadman Walking? So Deadman Walking is 4.1K. God, the minutes are just an issue with him. So, yeah. And Boban's 3.6K. On FanDuel, it might be a lock and load. I mean, he's been so good, and he's going to get 24 minutes at that price on FanDuel. Boban, man. Oh, and then it's so much fun to watch Boban play as well. And then you can be, and then we can be actually happy to watch a Detroit Pistons game. How glorious is that? All right, we made it. That's the show. We made it in exactly an hour. Glorious. Although I feel like I had to rush through it. That's the slate. Only 3 games left. 3 days left of the NBA regular season. Let's take advantage of it. Let's have some fun. If you have any questions regarding Chambers or anything regarding NBA, MLB, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Go to the website, dgcourtroom.com. Send me an email. And good luck to the people in the finals for the Chambers head-to-head bracket madness. Remember, Wednesday is going to be the best of the best Chambers. So the power rankings will be unleashed on Wednesday. And other than that, let's just enjoy these final few days of basketball before the Doppler radar and MLB takes over our lives for like the next 5 months. For the bailiff, for the judge, hope you had a glorious weekend. Court is adjourned.